Today we're going to talk about you can't move forward in God's future and hold on to old unforgiveness. Okay, you can't have the new and hold on to the old at the same time. And so we're going to look at this, and so we're going to pray this prayer, and I want you to really, this is what Jesus taught us to pray in a daily way, all right? And when we get to it, we're not going to say trespasses, or we're going to say debt or debtors, because Matthew is going to follow up on that in Matthew 18, and that's where we're going to look today. So I want you to repeat it with me, and as we do it, this is a prayer unto God this morning. Everybody online, you can follow along as well. Let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, show us what it is to follow you together, to follow you into freedom and not accept the prison of unforgiveness, the pain of unforgiveness. Lord, speak by your Holy Spirit to each person, both in the building and online this morning. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So Jesus taught us to pray every day about forgiveness. Every day. Jesus taught us every day to pray about forgiveness. He not just taught us to pray about it, but in how he taught us to pray, he expects us to be forgiving people every day. Now, you and I, we tend to think about forgiveness as something we need to do occasionally. And if we're honest, we kind of feel shocked and surprised that we need to do it. This idea that, like, somehow we don't think that in a broken world that we're not going to run into being hurt and disappointed every day, and yet we treat it like this giant surprise when really this world just leads us in a life where every day, daily bread, and then we've got to pray, God, forgive us our debts. And as we have, as we are doing, as we're living out every day, we're forgiving others. You see, when God offers us something new, we have to learn to think in a new way. We can't take old attitudes into a new season with God. But you and I are tended to think about forgiveness the way that Peter in Matthew 18 thought about it. Jesus was talking about dealing with sin. It was like just a fact. You're going to have to do it. And Peter's like, so how many times do I need to forgive someone? Like, should I go up to 7 times and really push myself? And Jesus was like, no. No, real forgiveness is like 77 times. In other words, there's never an end to forgiving people. And so Jesus has a very clear teaching that every day we've got to recognize that we need to be forgiven and that we have to forgive others. But we live in a world that says, no, you don't have to forgive. A matter of fact, if you forgive, you'll never get what you want. If you forgive, justice won't happen in our communities. It's like, well, actually, no, if you don't forgive, you'll just perpetuate injustice by your bitterness. It's like, how do you really understand? And a new relationship with Jesus teaches us new things about how to live the day. And for all of my married people out there, I just like to submit sample A, which is the kitchen sponge, okay? Now, I have this wonderful wife who's just amazing, and she's wonderful and always encouraging, but when it gets to the kitchen sponge, she's got a little correction to do in my life because I tend not to wring it out. All right? All right? Is anybody starting to feel this with me? All right? I don't wring it out, and so my wife's like, Sean, you can't do that. If you don't empty out all the water at the end of the day, what's meant to clean things is going to infect things. Every day, not occasionally, you got to get all of the water out of this thing. I see a few wives doing this to some husbands right now. Every day this needs to happen. Because if you don't wring out all the water, What is meant to clean things is going to get infected, and it's actually going to infect other things. You can't do it once in a while. Every day, you got to make sure all of that moisture's out. Well, see, you and I, we kind of bring forgiveness like that to God. Like every day, this has got to happen. You got to get out all that unforgiveness every day. Because if you don't get it out, what's meant, your life is meant to clean and bring a healing and bring freedom to other people. But if you let unforgiveness stay in your heart, it's going to get a little funky in there. And this life that's supposed to help other people experience the cleansing of God is actually going to infect lives instead. Every day, we've got to wring out. We got to wring out that hurt. We got to give it to God every day. It's not an occasional thing. Now, Jesus is teaching this, and he used the word debt and debtors, this idea that someone owes us something. Who owes you something today? Who did something, and now they owe you because of what they did, because of what they said, maybe because of what they did not do in your life. Who owes you today? Who's got a debt? Who caused you to lose something that you had, and now you've got this debt, and they owe you to get back what you've lost? Jesus says that forgiveness is canceling a debt owed. It's saying, hey, you really owe it. I've really lost. And yet, I'm going to cancel the debt because God's got something greater for me to receive. Now, again, we live in this world that says, well, forgiveness is kind of an optional, occasional thing. And yet what Jesus says is, oh, you got to, every day, don't let any unforgiveness hang in your heart. Get it out. Figure it out before you go to bed. Does that mean we're going to feel like forgiving everybody every day, that everything's going to be right when we do it and magically people are going to live the right? No. But see, Peter asks Jesus in Matthew 18, we're going to get there in a minute, he asks, hey, do I need to do this 7 times? Now, there's an assumption there that's totally backwards. Peter's assuming that he should forgive to give a benefit to the person who offended him. I need to do this. Should I do this for that other person 7 times? Should I help them out 7 times? And Jesus is like, no, Peter, you've got it all wrong. Forgiveness ain't for them. It's for you. You're doing this for you. If they sin against you 77 times, you need to forgive that many times. You need to every day pray this prayer and let God do something new. And there's not a marriage that can last unless you forgive. And there's not a family that can get out of its crazy cycle unless some forgiveness happens. There's not a community that will ever see justice done until people actually forgive and are able to go the right way in producing justice. So this is so important. There's a lot to talk about forgiveness, but there's one very important reason why God has us, you and I, everybody online, part of the Cornerstone family. There's one very important reason why right now God wants us to deal with unforgiveness in our life. And we're going to move into communion to really let that happen. And it's this. Clinging to unforgiveness will cancel God's new freedom in your life. God can really do a very new thing in your life, and you can really live in unforgiveness and drop out of what God's done. And if you don't believe me, listen to Jesus explaining to Peter the story of the unmerciful servant. Here it is. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who, there's that word, owed him 10,000 talents, which is roughly the equivalent of $3.48 billion. It would take this man 200,000 days of work at minimum wage to pay this back. It was brought to him, the master. And since he was not able to pay that, he didn't have 200,000 days to give him, the master ordered, now notice who pays the price. He, his wife, and his children, and all that he had to be sold to repay what's that thing we're talking about? When someone owes us something, it's a debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. And we're going to hear these words in a little bit again. Be patient with me. Oh, man, we all want God to be patient with us, right? We're all very much have mercy on me. It's a little bit when God gives it to someone else, but we know what we want. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. No way this is happening. There's no way he's paying this back. Listen to what the master does. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. There's a word about forgiveness. There's some things we don't need to fix. We need to let go. Well, when that forgiven servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about $5,800. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, because you really owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, sound familiar? Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison, which I'm not sure how in prison he's going to pay back the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went out and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, "You wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be, there's a word we don't want to see, tortured until he should be pay back all he owed. Now, this whole story was right after Peter asked, "Do I need to forgive seven times?" Jesus said, "No, 77. And he told his story. And Jesus finishes his story with a verse a lot of us would rather not be in the Bible. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Whoa. I want you to get this story. This man had a new freedom in his life he had never had before. He was forgiven like he never had before. He had a future that he had never thought he could have. It really was him. It really happened. And then it all went away. Why? Because he had unforgiveness in his heart to someone else. God can do all these amazing things in our lives. He has begun a new season. It absolutely has started. Like Isaiah, God is doing a new thing. Do you perceive it? Here it is. But if we hold on to unforgiveness, it's going to cancel that work. You're going to get to visit God's freedom like you know go to Nag's Head, but you ain't going to get to live there. You're going to go and come back all the time. Because Jesus says this issue of forgiveness is something that is absolutely necessary if you and I are going to love the way we should, live the way we should, and have peace the way we should. So the question this morning, who owes you? And are you willing to remember that you've been forgiven so much that you're willing to say, you know what, I'll forgive them. Now, I want you to see that when we follow Jesus together, this is the first thing and the continuous thing Jesus always talks to us about. You and I are going to go into a world to love it. There's no way we're not going to get hurt. So here God is, I want to use you to help people, but if you can't forgive them, what's meant to clean their life is going to infect their life. And so I want you to see three things very clearly, so important for us. We follow Jesus together in forgiving others because, one, unforgiveness is an absolute trap, right? Unforgiveness is a trap. Now, what happens in our pain, Satan offers us unforgiveness to close us off from being hurt again. It's our way of saying, they're not going to hurt me. That's not going to happen to me again. I'm just going to close down my heart. We're not going to think about it, talk about it. We're just going to move on. But what happens is instead of closing us off to pain, it traps the pain inside of us. When we don't forgive someone, we stay connected to them. And the pain and the defeat of the past continues to dominate us in the present. That's why the word torture's in there, because that's torture, when pain never stops. And when we don't forgive people, what we do is we actually kind of treat them like God. We put them in this place, unless they do something different, my life can't be better. That sounds like God's the only one who's supposed to be doing that. We give people more power than they should have. So, unforgiveness treats our offenders as God instead of people blinded and manipulated by the God of this world. We treat people like they're the ones who define our life instead of recognizing that they're just blind and manipulated by an enemy. Do we have a lot to grieve? Yes. Is there a healing process? Yes. Are we going to automatically trust them? No. But you can't follow Jesus and follow bitterness at the same time. You and I, we live in a world. We live in politics. We live in society. We live in social media that is based on the idea of bitterness right now. And I'm telling you what, it says its strength and its weakness. It says it's going to cleanse things, and it only infects things. You and I have to recognize the trap of unforgiveness. I heard one pastor say it this way. He said, forgiving someone doesn't make them right. It just makes you free. Just makes you free. You're the one who gets the freedom. Unforgiveness is wanting someone to, what is it, you know, hey, this poison you put in my life, I wish you would drink it too, and then you drink it instead. You know, you just poison yourself. Now, it's nice to know that, but in the end, we've got to recognize that forgiveness is a miracle. And it is a decision, but it's way more than a decision. Because you and I we have to make a decision. Jesus, just like you, forgave those who crucified you on the cross. I'm willing to forgive those who have caused gigantic loss in my life. I'm willing. The ones who call me, I'm willing to forgive them. You and I, we've got to make that decision, but forgiveness is more than a decision. Because your heart and mine can't handle, it really doesn't have the ability to be free. A lot of us are familiar with this verse where Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, listen, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has, and this is why you visit freedom, but you never stay. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I can, you know, if I've some reason got a monitor on this ankle, I'm not supposed to leave town, but I go visit Nag's Head. Well, I'm coming back. Why? Because I'm chained to something else. I got an authority saying you're not allowed over there. You've got to be here. When we choose unforgiveness, we choose sin. And now we're under the authority of the God of this world in that area. And he can always yank us back no matter how far we think we get. I want you to hear this, that there's a forgiveness that only Jesus can give us. We can't permanently be in a new season, new freedom, if we're always getting yanked back in unforgiveness. So what does Jesus do that we can't do? Well, here it is. In a moment, we're going to do communion. We're going to ask this work to come into our lives. Look, as the story we just heard says, we're forgiven an unpayable debt. The cross of Jesus Christ is the result. How Jesus looked on the cross is how my marriage, my family, my parenting, my mental health, That's how my life is going to look if I keep living in sin. That cross is what my life, that's the destiny of my life. Unless Jesus says, I'll pay the debt for you. I'll make you right with the Father. He gave you life. You went and turned it all. You just messed it up. You want to give that back to him? I'll give him a perfect life back. And as I do that, I'm going to fill you with a different spirit. Romans 8 says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he's going to raise you to life. Forgiveness is a choice, but the Spirit of God's got to fill you to really be free. And then what this story doesn't say, but Jesus has been saying all along in the book of Matthew is this. Not only are you forgiven unpayable debt, not only are you filled with a different spirit, but you are given eternally more than you lost. I want you to hear that. That's what, for me, in a very practical way, it's like, Lord, that person took this from me. But you're planning to give me so much more. So much more. I love what Jesus said in Luke 6. He said, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Everybody wants justice. Well, let's start with us. It's just that God measures out to us how we measure out to others. It would be unjust for God to give us one thing, but not everybody else the same thing. The measure, and I'll tell you what, I would love to give 10% of what I have for God to give 10% of what he has. That would be a great deal. That would be the best deal ever. For me, the measure of like, hey, I'm going to give you this much, and God say, well, I'll give you a mine that much. And, you know, and I'm not referring to just a tithing issue. Our whole life is like, God, I want to give you everything. And God's like, well, I already have given you everything. I gave you my best. Pastor Nidra, last week, we got to let go of those nets. We got to be willing to lay those down. And I want you to hear, we're following Jesus and forgiving others because unforgiveness is a trap, because forgiveness is a miracle, and lastly, because your heart is your future. See, we've got this kind of Western American idea that our heart is like one room in the house of our life. And it's like, well, I hate that person. I won't forgive them, but I'm totally going to love all of you people. Like that person, they're just in one little nook and cranny. I've shut the door there. It's not affecting anything else. Look, that's an American Western concept. Your heart does not have compartments. It's one big thing. It's like the water in a cup. And when you pour poison into it, it doesn't just kind of hang out in one little spot. It just works its way through everything. That's why God says, you can't hate your brother and say you love me. You got to love me with all your heart, which means you got to live in forgiveness to someone else. Your heart is not like one room in a house that you just shut when company comes over. No, your heart is like this water that whatever you're putting in it, everybody's taking a drink of. So you and I have to recognize that there is this gift of what Jesus said. He said, you've got to forgive your brother from your heart. And the only way we do that is we recognize, God, I am trapped. I'm stuck. I'm so connected to the past, I can't get by. God, you've got to free me. Please, Lord, you forgave me. You set me free. Lord, that person has been as blind as I am. I'm just blind in a different area. Lord, you have mercy and justice on that person. Lord, let the justice and mercy, let the cross be it for me, let it be for them. And Lord, I believe right now that the resurrection is my future. I may have gone through a crucifixion. I may have gone through something that I can't describe, all the pain. But Lord, I'm believing that I can live again in you and not just live a little bit. I can live abundantly like never before. So I've got some questions for you this morning. And after these questions, we're going to take communion. Who owes you? Who owes you? Will you follow them or will you follow Jesus? Because you can't follow both of them. Will you cancel their debt so you can accept the riches of Christ? All right, Lord, here I am today. I'm going to give them to you. Lord, help them find the cross the way I found the cross. And Lord, I want to say that my life can't be better unless they do something. I've got to change. It's about what you're doing for me. And you're going to have to fill me with your spirit so I can live in that, because I don't think I could do that on my own. And will you take the next step? Because you're not just going to have a moment of forgiveness. Man, you might want to go on your Bible app, find a little study plan for forgiveness. All this week, I'm just going to keep letting God speak to my heart. Because the truth is what the Word of God says, that God does know his plans for you. And they are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But if you're chained to unforgiveness, you're never going to be there. You've got to let the cross work in your life today and allow a new beginning to happen. So I'm going to ask every one of you, somewhere nearby should be the communion elements. I'm going to get mine. You should be able, they should be all around you. Just look around if you don't have one. This isn't the most magnificent form of communion. And everybody at home today, I just want to encourage you to either get ready to receive together or just in your heart allow this moment. Obviously, when we get to this moment of receiving, your mask can come down. Obviously, that's a clear thing we're doing at restaurants. You are about to partake, so it'll be fine to do. But what I want to encourage you today is to think about those who owe you and then bring them to the cross. And at the cross, say, Lord, I'm going to put them here. And I'm going to open up my hands. Instead of holding on, I'm going to let them go. Now, again, this next step, it's like, well, Pastor Sean, I still live with them. What does that look like? That's where you need to take some next steps, okay? You need to reach out to your small group leader. You need to reach out to a pastor. Say, how do I live this? Because this isn't just the past. I'm in the present with it. All right, if that's where you're at, right, you need to take a next step after today. And I want you to do the easiest thing to do is connect with your small group leader. If you don't have one, it's a great time to join one. Or reach out via the connection card and email. Reach out to us. Say, teach me how to do this. But I just want to be clear. God's got to do something. You and I, we can make a decision to accept it. We can't make it happen. Only the cross of Jesus Christ can make it happen in us. Once it does happen, then we're in this new way to live. And it's like, okay, I don't know how to do this. That's where the body of Christ comes around you and says, let me walk with you. Okay? So I'm going to ask you right now if you would stand. I'm going to ask you to take the symbol of the broken body. And I want you to really now, would you just bow your heads and would you think about the cross of Jesus? Think about the cross of Jesus and the debt he paid back for you. You and I were lost and we had no future. Our mental health was gone. Our relationships, we were always contributing to them getting, we weren't cleaning them, they were getting infected, and we just kept repeating cycles. Lord, would you break those cycles and those patterns and those attitudes and that pain? Would you break the power of it because your body was broken for us? And I'm going to ask you right now, before we receive communion, would you take a moment and just, if there's any place, Lord, forgive me Lord, thank you for having mercy on me. Wherever you need to ask for forgiveness, would you do that right now before we receive? And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is going to be your act of acceptance. It's going to be your moment that you decide, Lord Jesus, I receive what you did on the cross for me. I ask for forgiveness and I ask for you to fill me with a new spirit and give me what no person can ever give me. Lord, I pray for everybody online today, wherever they are. It's a perfect moment to hear this word because wherever they're living, whatever they're doing, there they need to walk in forgiveness. As you hold this element now, we remember that Jesus said that this was his body that was broken for us, that experienced pain for us, that paid the debt we could never pay. Lord, in this moment, as we choose to receive your forgiveness, we ask that that forgiveness would cause us to be, Lord, willing to release those around us. We forgive as we are forgiven. We say, yes, now, would you receive the body of Christ broken for you? Do it with worship in your hearts. Would you prepare the cup? I'm going to ask you right now whether it's someone out there in the world, whether it is someone you know, whether it is something you're going through, it's the past right now, before we take this cup that is, it is the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, before we do that, if there's anyone you need to forgive, and this is where new freedom begins, everybody, would you take a moment to begin to offer that to the Lord? Say, Lord, here's my loss. Here's my debt. I give it to you. I cancel their debt because you are going to give me so much more. Thank you for freedom right now in the name of Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, on the night he gave his life, he said that this was the cup of the new covenant, of a new relationship, of a new beginning that came from him. And we were supposed to receive it as an act of commitment, of love, of covenant with him. Would you take and drink now? The blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Praise the name of the Lord. Take a moment now with forgiveness in your heart. Take a moment, Lord, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your spirit. I can't live with the spirit of this world any longer. I can't live with the spirit of bitterness. Lord, free me. I'm going to ask if you've got a spouse right next to you, take their hand right now. Lord, let this marriage live in the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, let family members live in forgiveness. Lord, you have granted us a new beginning. You have set us free, and we receive it. And we ask that you show us how to walk in new life. Teach us a new way. We just thank you that you are more than able. And we ask this morning, we just breathe in your spirit. If we have died with him, we live with him. If we have gone through the cross, we get to Easter morning. We get to live with him today. Lord, I pray right now, a new beginning, a new freedom, a new healing. Lord, a new strength, a new peace begin to come into our minds and our hearts. As Father, we have emptied us. We have emptied ourselves of unforgiveness, and we have said, Lord, I choose to forgive. I choose to follow you in forgiveness, and now I choose to walk in resurrection power. Come on, everybody online, everybody here, there's nothing sweeter than being free. There's nothing more hopeful and more encouraging than knowing My future is based on the one who loved me so much. He gave his life for me. It's not based on what they did. It's based on what you've done, oh God. Lord, these marriages, its future is based on what you've done. And because you've forgiven us, we can forgive each other. We can have new beginnings. We just thank you right now. We forgive from the heart. Would you just tell that to the Lord today? I forgive from the heart. I don't want to live in the torture of unforgiveness. I want to get my eyes on Jesus and walk forward. Praise your holy name. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian just to lead us in a moment of worship. And as you worship, invite the Spirit.